You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
William!
Yes, Dom!
We are here!
In the Friendship Onion Studios.
Hey, not only are we in the Friendship Onion Studio, but today we have a guest. And we don't have a huge amount of time, so we should...
We can't be messing around. What was that?
Shelf. Well, something fell on the shelf. Careful.
Peeling the onion.
We should really just fire right in, but...
Yeah.
Should we do one miniature piece of housekeeping before we do?
Go on, Dom.
Housekeeping, how much fun are you to keep a house clean and true?
Hey, we've got a ton of questions, and keep them coming in because we will get to your questions eventually. We'll do an episode that's all about questions at some point, but we're just going to answer one. This is from Vic in Austria. Hello, Vic.
Hello, Vic.
Who said, what do you think of the meme below? And does Samwise Gamgee have a point or not? Now, hopefully at this point, we're putting the meme up on the screen via the gift of technology.
But not on the podcast.
The meme, I'll explain it. It is at the end of The Return of the King where Frodo has unfortunately passed out and lost control of his limbs.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And Sam says, I can't carry the ring, Mr. Frodo, but I can carry you.
Up you get.
And he carries him up the hill.
Right.
And Andrew Nadal, at the Andrew Nadal on Twitter,
yeah,
above the photo, has said, Sam, being able to carry Frodo and not be affected by the ring means the ring doesn't understand transitive properties.
Ah.
So they could have just taped the ring to a mouse and then carried the mouse with no ill effect. The whole journey would have taken 20 minutes. Now, it's a good point. But I would think probably a less dynamic movie trilogy.
And if actually you made it three or four things away, like if you had stapled it onto a tarantula.
Poor tarantula.
Then tied the tarantula's legs around a mouse.
Poor tarantula.
Then put the mouse into the forward-facing pocket of a kangaroo.
Yeah.
Put the kangaroo into one of those, like a little trolley.
And then push the
and then just
tarantula, mouse, kangaroo. Or pulled.
Up the hill.
That would seem almost as hard as carrying Elijah Wood up a hill, I would argue. Whereas popping a mouse in your pocket and going for a stroll seems to be less.
I'm just trying to get it. I'm trying to get it further away.
I understand. Hey, William.
What?
Should we bring in our guest?
Come on, it's a fantastic guest. Why don't you read a little blurb for us, Dom, before we get started?
I'll read a little blurb about our guest. Brent Pella is a stand-up comedian and digital content creator and cast on VH1's Wildin' Out. Brent's comedy videos have gained more than 100 million views combined to an audience of over 400,000.
That's a lot of people.
Across social media. Brent graduated through both the Groundlings and UCB, Upright Citizens Brigade, improv sketch programs in LA, and is best known for his viral impressions of Eminem, Joe Rogan, and California Governor Gavin Newsom,
amongst others.
As well as uniquely handcrafted video comedies or comedy videos that tackle everything from politics to spirituality, cultural trends, and more. William.
Let's welcome onto the Friendship Onion, Brent.
What a welcome.
Tom, here we have our beautiful guest for this week. Hello, Brent.
What's going on, fellas?
How's it going, Brent? Not only a beautiful guest, but Brent, you've... My God, man, you stop moving around.
Everything's touching everything.
You're causing the earthquakes now.
Sorry.
Brent, you brought us gifts. Let's talk about
this wonderful
gift. I
come bearing gifts.
Thank you.
Yes, bro. You know, this is the Friendship Onion, so I figure the first layer could be made with a gift.
What a lovely thing.
You know?
And if it's the gift of booze, then it's even better, Brent.
Tis the gift of booze. This is a rosé wine brand that I've been working on for the past couple of years.
Vibe.
It's called Vibe Rosé. Yeah. Super stoked. Excited that it's finally out. I brought you each a bottle.
So sweet.
Yeah, man.
Now, as someone who obviously is behind... It's chilled as well. Someone who's behind this company. Tell us, what defines this above all the other rosés out there?
There are many rosés out there.
Oh, there are.
Many rosés.
A rosé by any other name would smell as sweet.
This is
I don't
true.
Think that's what this is.
Is it?
No. Well, it's close.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of rosés, I grew up with rosé, not grew up because you're not supposed to drink under 21.
Yeah, good
but,
point.
My whole family's Italian, so they kind of introduced me to rosé early on. And
right. Bella, Bella.
Then I just kept coming back to it. I'm a wannabe wine nerd.
Uh-huh.
And coming out of 2020, I wanted to do something else to help people stop yelling at each other on Twitter,
yeah.
Right?
And just
yes.
kind of connect in real life and look each other in the eyes again, you
yeah,
know.
Lovely.
And and so I take a lot of what I do in like the comedy space and the live event space, and I wanted to put it into this brand and this product with the mission of creating something that's a little more high energy, because a lot of rosés, they're a little bit standoffish, a little bit fancy, a little bit highbrow.
Uh-huh.
I wanted this to be a little more approachable, relatable, right. And kind of synonymous with live event culture and,
nice.
And people going out and having a good time.
An accessible rosé.
And accessible rosé.
Where do you get it? How can people get it?
Yeah, it's at VibeRosé.com, VibeRosé.com. Promo code is Vibrate with a Y.
Lovely.
But yeah, the juice comes from Napa. It was a crazy process to get going. And,
I bet. Yeah.
You know, it's my first Brent, step into that part of the world. But
would you mind if I cracked mine open and had a little drink?
I
really
would be offended yeah. if you didn't.
See? You want to offend our guest?
No, no, so. I wouldn't want to offend anyone.
Johnny,
or unfend.
Is there any glasses, for instance, that would be absolutely derogare for a rosé?
Well, Brent, I've known Billy for 20 years now, and one of the real kind of epochs in Billy's life is to run. Correct me if I'm wrong, William.
Don't worry, yeah.
To run a roasting hot bath, like almost as hot as like molten lava.
Uh-huh.
Oh, look
thanks,
at
Johnny
oh,
Clues.
Right,
and to
perfect,
dip himself yeah. into that. Thanks, Johnny Clues. To dip himself into that bath over the course of about 25 minutes, because it's so hot, he almost scalds himself.
Really uh-huh. hot.
Then
good. On my butt.
On his bum and his genitalia especially.
Yeah. Good.
Then he puts on either The Divine Comedy.
Lovely.
Or possibly an old LP from Annie DeFranco.
Perfect.
Light some candles.
Or, yeah. with, our, with our guest here,
yes.
Dean Martin.
Oh, lovely Dean Martin.
Ah!
Yeah. When the moon hits your eye like pizza.
Like a big pizza.
He lights a few candles. One of those candles is an angelic version of Sean Astin looking directly, deeply into his eyes. And then, if you don't mind me saying, Billy.
Thank you. That's fine.
Billy likes to get absolutely rat-ass drunk.
Oh.
And his favorite way of getting drunk is on a rosé, so that when he stands up out of his roasting hot bath, he almost passes out.
Yeah.
And his wife has to pick him up like Sam picked up Frodo in Lord of the Rings. But, yeah. Carry him to the bedroom. You love that.
Like a thing, like
while
a bag.
While she whispers, my precious.
My precious. Like a bag of washing, you know, yes. when you've just got uh-huh. a bag. Yeah. Sure. I tell you what, I can't wait. Let's have a go at this. Come
right.
on.
Yeah, well, cheers, bro.
Now,
cheers
over there, guys. I can't quite reach it.
Let's
now.
Have a...
I'm getting.
Oh, what a lovely bouquet!
I'm getting tones of, well, rosé wine.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's actually really smart. Mm. Are you trained?
I do have a very redefined nose because of all the surgery.
Mm.
William, mm-hmm. what are you getting from that?
Well,
wine,
plastic cup.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep. That was actually one of our ingredients too.
And is this, you're saying, is this Californian?
Yeah, California rosé.
Well,
yeah.
I tell you what, that is absolutely lovely.
That's lovely.
Brent, thank you so much.
This actually tastes, fair, to me.
Go on,
I'm going to have one more.
Just have a little sip there.
If I were to describe this rosé, I would say this tastes like a kind of accessible rosé, like a rosé that you've already known years ago.
That you've known forever.
Do you know what I mean?
That you partied with once and some crazy stuff happened. And
right.
You woke up and you forgot about all the stuff, but every time you see the rosé, you feel this connection.
Exactly. Yeah. You had a great night and then you found out that she texted your friend and it got a bit weird.
It
but then
a
years
weird.
Later, she was like, I only texted him to ask about you. And you're like, oh, it's a misunderstanding.
Misunderstanding.
And then, you go out for ramen and you accidentally get a little fragment on it on your face, but she doesn't tell you, and then you go home and you see and you think, how long has that been on there?
Right.
And that causes a fight between you.
Right.
But then you get married and have four kids. It's that type of dream.
That's the exact way my parents met. It's so crazy.
Incredible.
That's how we got here. There was a little piece of almost done egg yolk on the chin from the ramen.
Yeah, it's a classic love story.
What made you think about making a wine? What was there?
You know, it was really just, I felt like creatively coming out of COVID in 2020.
Oh, so it was? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I felt like I wanted to do more. Okay. I wanted to give people another reason to smile and laugh. Same way I do with comedy, but I figured rosé has such a great crossover with the live entertainment space. So
lovely.
Just want to bring some more joy, you know?
I think of it as a sort of European, a French drink. Who drinks it in America, rosé? Are you saying
girls named Ashley?
Ladies,
usually,
in the autumn time, right?
Yeah. Summer and fall.
Girls who they'll take like a girls trip together to like Salem and pretend to be witches together.
Right.
They'll all eat like treacle toffee and make really safe bonfires in the
garden. And they'll light candles in the shape of a pentagram and talk about each other's times of birth. And they'll drink rosé at the same time.
Wear cowboy boots.
Yeah, exactly.
Oversized scarves.
Big hats.
Yeah, let's get like butch guys drinking it then.
Like us, you mean?
This is fantastic.
Thank you. Dudes can like rosé too.
Of course they can.
I like it.
There's no rules.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Brenta, what we really enjoy doing on this show is not only having people as yourself on the show who have clearly followed their passion and become successful, but we like to hear how that happened so that if there was someone at home who's possibly thinking about doing something that you do, you could provide like a little bit of a roadmap for them. So could you give us like a little kind of introduction as to how you got going in the business?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I went to school up in Santa Barbara. And in college, I was doing a lot of like silly videos, comedy videos. This was around the time the Lonely Island guys were really big, Andy Samberg and the Saturday Night Live guys.
Yeah. Right.
So they were a huge inspiration. So I was doing comedy music videos in college, and it was getting really popular around campus. And then I moved to LA, and I wanted to get into comedy, but I didn't know like what you're supposed to do to get into comedy. I was lost. I didn't know that stand-up was like a thing people did for a career. I thought it was like a side thing that actors did sometimes, right?
And to interject, were you the funny kid at school?
You've worked hard for what you have. Your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Were you the class clown?
I was never even the funniest of my friend group. Oh. I still don't think I am. Because it's like, you know how when you're around your friends, there's that one guy that's just always hilarious?
Yeah.
Like you have that guy.
Yeah.
But he might not end up being the funniest guy on stage or
in a
different environment. So there's still guys I laugh harder at than anybody laughs at me.
I remember Jerry Seinfeld saying, someone was interviewing him, can't remember, and they said, were you the funny kid in your social group? Mm-hmm. And he said, no. But he said, when you're a kid, everyone's funny.
Because
everyone's just trying to crack everyone else up.
Yeah.
And you're all just like kind of being a little bit lighthearted. So he said, my entire social group was just full of goofs and comedians.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably true when you look back at it. Everyone's trying to make other people laugh.
Yeah, we're all trying to bust each other down in junior high and high school.
Right.
And So I moved down to LA. I started doing open mics. I was awful, just absolutely terrible.
Okay.
But I played sports my whole life, so I always had this very strong, like, competitive edge too.
Oh, yeah.
And so being bad at something was like kind of exciting for me. So yeah. I completely dove in. My first job when I moved out here was at the Cheesecake Factory.
Oh right, where Glendale?
It was the Beverly Hills Mall. The mall. What's that big mall called?
I don't know. I don't go to Beverly Hills. That often.
The Beverly Center.
Yeah.
There's a Cheesecake Factory in there.
It used to be a the Grand Lux Cafe.
Right.
And then they closed down, moved me out to Marina Del Rey to the Cheesecake Factory.
Right.
You know how other countries make you serve in the army for 2 years?
Yeah.
I feel like in America, we need to make people work at a restaurant for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you really learn a lot about life.
You know what I mean? Rite of passage thing.
Yeah. So,
so when you were doing open mics,
yeah.
who were the very successful comedians that would come in and steal an hour from everyone and try to do open mics? Who was popping off at that?
Brent Morin. It's super funny. Chris D'Elia was at kind of the peak of his stuff.
Yeah.
Beth Stelling was around. People like Whitney Cummings were starting to really pop off like that. So I would see them sometimes at like some of the bigger open mics and they would come in and drop a set.
And would these people be kind of gracious enough to kind of say, hey, this is what I would do. I do it like this. This is how it began with
me. If you asked.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's folks at higher levels are like moving so quick that they might have just popped in to do their set and then dipped out.
Sure.
Not for any mean reason.
Yeah,
just they got
busy.
Stuff to do. Right.
Right?
So I was doing a lot of open mics. I started at Groundlings and UCB, the sketch programs. And I was also doing a lot of PA stuff on the side as kind of a day job in addition to the restaurant work. And just kept making videos and kept trying weird stuff and kept like getting outside of my comfort zone, doing like celebrity impressions, topical sketches, things like that. And it all just kept growing and building together. And I'd say there were two real like moments that I saw good things happen. One was coming into 2020. I started doing a lot of like topical parodies, making fun of all the craziness that was going on. And then that caught the eye of Nick Cannon, who actually DM'd me on Instagram to invite me to join the cast of Wild and Out.
Very cool.
So yeah, all the video stuff that I just kept pumping out, like spending my last tip dollars from the Cheesecake Factory to make sure I could get this prop for a video and then be broke again and just kept going. It finally ended with, you know, getting a gig on my own. So
wow. I was watching back at a lot of your videos and...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
They're really great, really
thank you so
funny,
much, man.
And really topical, and you know, really, really interesting and kind of smart stuff. But did you? Who was making the videos? Did you have a little group of people, or were you totally there yourself, telling someone what to do? Like,
yeah.
How did that build up?
Yeah, it definitely built over time. You know, because I was a PA for so many years, I had like a firsthand look to proper union gig, so I could see the hierarchy of the crew, and I got to like look over the director's shoulder at his storyboard and everything. And I took a lot of those lessons and I started putting them into the comedy video. So even if it was like a 2 or 3 minute comedy video, I'd have a shot list, a storyboard. I'd write all of it myself.
All right.
And up until about 6 months ago, I was editing everything myself too. But now I have a DP partner of mine who kind of co-edits things with me.
Right.
And then maybe 2 or 3 people that I write with a lot. So we have a little unit out here.
And
you know,
you always had an ability to do impressions, yeah.
Yeah, so
did that come from school?
The first impression I ever did was Eminem.
Oh, yeah.
And
what, singing or talking?
Rapping really angry, because you know he's always angry.
He is angry.
He's very, he's very mad. Like, yeah. Even if you gave him a glass of rosé, he'd be like, you know, thank you. And you'd be like, I'm sorry, did I hurt you? So I started doing the Eminem impressions. And once that got picked up and really popular online, something switched in my head. And I was like, wow, I was always scared of doing impressions because it's so outside of my comfort zone.
Right.
But I saw some success. So I just started following that and testing different celebrities, different impressions. I'm not the best voice guy, but it was cool to kind of get out of my comfort zone and try something new. Yeah.
It's weird, right? With impressions. Yeah. Billy and I have talked about it before. There's a weird alchemy with impressions where sometimes the people that get the impression absolutely bang on perfect isn't really what the audience are looking for. The audience are very often looking for you to make what defines them completely extreme and ridiculous. So if you're bang on, people are like, well, I could just go to the actual source. And
right, I could just watch the guy.
What I'm looking for is something ludicrous and ridiculous, you know? Yeah. So you have to kind of push it a little bit. And you do Rogan as well.
Yeah,
so what was the thing that, what was the tag with Rogan? Like, what's Rogan's thing? Eminem's angry.
Elk meat for sure.
And he's always so curious about like anything. Right. Like you could tell him, you could describe how you're drinking a glass of water and he'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, tell me
so the water just kind of goes through your face hole. And he'd like break it down so specifically. But I mean, you know, he's the dad for people who don't have dads, you know, for guys in their 20s and 30s that don't have dads. Yeah. And I think he's great. And
I think Rogan's he's fantastic. And one of my favorite things about Joe Rowe is...
Joe Rowe, that's what I call
Joe Rowe, he just kind of lets it all hang out. He's like, look, I hunt. Of course, you have strong feelings about hunting.
Mm-hmm.
I eat meat. You might have strong feelings about meat as well. But every so often, I'm going to have like a cutting board with really bloody elk on it.
and a bunch of
like chili peppers. And I'm like a man. And for breakfast, I'm going to eat hunks of flesh and hot chilies.
Yeah.
And then jump into a sauna for 3 hours at like 250 degrees.
It's bananas.
Those photos of him where he comes out of the sauna and he's like.
He looks like a melting bean, dude. It's wild.
I love it.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So funny.
But he's, you know, he's caught fire because I think of that authenticity. At no point, as he said, I'm going to trim off the edges, you know. And also, he's obviously a huge fan of MMA and obviously quite a gifted kickboxer back in the day. I listened to some of those pods, but my favorite pods that Joe does are these people working in the kind of almost experimental elements of medicine. So people who are really trying to work with different modalities that at this point are still a little out there.
Yep.
And they're, you know, they're taking big risks, big leaps themselves personally. Like Paul Stamets is amazing.
Paul Stamets is incredible. Zach Bush. Yeah. So Zach Bush changed my whole perception toward water.
Yeah.
So now I try to only drink like fancy waters now. Yeah. But it's great.
What's he saying about water?
He says he had a podcast with Aubrey Marcus. Do you know who Aubrey?
Yeah. The Onnit guy, right?
Yes. The Onnit guy. And they dove into a conversation about the structure of water as it pertains to how we consume water in this country and how we've set up our water systems to basically force water through these unnatural movements, through these unnatural processes of going through pipes, 90-degree angles, forcing water through small holes. And I'm not the scientist, so everybody should definitely go listen to somebody else. But the recap was like, when you do that to water, it reforms the molecular structure of water and it takes away any natural nutrients or electrolytes that could be in there. Magnesium, potassium, sodium, which water naturally picks up when it's going down mountains or springs or whatever. And that's why spring water is supposedly better than purified or tap.
So spring water Wolfie have, is it? That's the...
Yeah. So he was harking on spring water a lot. But
I mean, what are we, more than 70% water?
76% water.
Is that from that body book? Yeah.
Could be.
Nice.
So, Billy's been reading the same book.
It's actually from an Amy Mann song.
Oh, is that right? 76%.
76%.
Or is it Annie DeFranco, maybe?
Yeah, it could be either one of those two. So if we are a massive percentage of us is water and we're introducing that into our body, it should be the best version that it can be.
More than 50% of you isn't actually you.
It's water.
No, it's other things.
Or elk.
No, it's other animals, little tiny things living on your bacteria and stuff.
Oh, yeah, like microscopic organisms. Mm.
So if 76% of you is water and over 50% of you is organisms, you basically don't exist.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Billy, you just got really intense.
That's a trip.
You got very Joe Rogan there, Billy.
Yeah.
Give me some milk.
That's the vibe rosé flowing through your veins right now.
I tell you what, is that made with spring water, I hope?
Spring water and a hit of LSD.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. That's why Billy went ape shit there. I have people, you know, talk my ear off quite a lot about animals. I'm obsessed with animals and had a nature show for a few years. And people come over and say, you know, the usual stuff. I'm scared of snakes. I'm scared of spiders. I'm scared of bees. I'm scared of wasps and bats and stuff. And I say, you know, keep in mind that the vast majority of those animals, even if you're in the same room as them, have no idea that you exist. But similar to what you said, Bills, I was like, we have animals that live on our face all the time. When you wash your face, they don't come off. They live in our eyebrows. They live in our eyelashes. They keep our eyelashes and eyebrows clean. And if they weren't there, you'd have problems with that part of your body.
Yeah.
And they like freak out. And I said, you're only freaking out because you know that. Like, if you've not known that for 25 years, you know, so connect to the idea that the natural world is a huge part of us. We are part of the natural world as well. And just relax into it. You know? It's the problem comes up when people are tense about it. You know, I'm really scared about spiders. And you're like, well, there's not a spider now. And I understand if there was like, if I was holding on to a tarantula, you might have a reaction. But even just talking about it makes them feel tense. So you're creating these pathways in your brain of every time I mention the word spider, I feel tense. And they say, how do I fix that? And I say, you should go research great things about spiders, research what they do for our planet, research positive things, and retrain those pathways in our brain. Mm-hmm. And then you'll feel a little bit more empowered. You don't have to keep a spider, but you should definitely not be absolutely losing your marbles when you see one in your bathroom.
Right.
That's where they live.
Because it's not there to consciously harm you.
Not at all.
It's just a part of the world.
Right, right.
It's a part of the natural flow of things.
Right.
So yeah, retraining your pathway to overcome fears like that, it only opens you up to more opportunities to shine.
Absolutely. So Brent, so you started doing these videos that started to kind of become popular and gain some traction. From that point, when you started to gain a strong online following, did it change your stand-up comedy audience and routine?
Yeah, it did, which was really funny because it was mostly during 2020. I had never done political comedy prior to 2020, and then COVID hit, and I wasn't the biggest fan of the mandates, you know, and I saw some other things like that our beloved Governor Gavin Newsom was doing, like the curfew type stuff and just his kind of hypocrisy a little bit. So I wanted to poke fun at that, because I didn't see very many other people poking fun at that. Right. I saw a lot of folks, you know, especially in mainstream comedy, are making fun of Donald Trump for being loud and orange. And I guess, great, we should make fun of Trump, but we should make fun of everybody. And everybody deserves to have a target if they're doing something silly.
Yeah.
And so I started kind of dipping into that. And it's the same fear thing. I was nervous about doing it. But the more I did it, the more comfortable I felt, because I felt like I was being more authentic to my sensibilities when it comes to comedy. Mm. And in doing so, my audience changed and only got stronger. And I started like attracting people to my live shows who would come up to me after and start talking about, hey, dude, I saw that video. That's so funny. Like, you're the only person who has a perspective that is similar to mine. Or like, I love how you play both sides. And it was never, I never did it for the purpose of growing my audience. I did it because it felt most authentic. And the audience just started to grow naturally. So I was pretty stoked on natural growth.
Does it feel though, you know, when the sort of internet, YouTube sort of thing, once you do get some traction and people are like, oh God, I see how many views I'm getting, then do you feel pressurized? I need to get another video out now. And because I know I've seen a lot of people talk about this and they feel like, oh, it's just like this never ending. People want entertained all the time now. Where it used to be you would, you know, if you had a good stand-up show, I could do you for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, you maybe think of another joke occasionally, but you have to invent a whole little movie weekly or
daily
maybe
now.
Daily.
It's daily. It's crazy. Because the amount of content that comes out, you know, there's, what, like 100 million new videos per month uploaded to YouTube? Something crazy like that.
Wow.
Like there's millions per day.
Yeah.
And the pressure is something I've actively tried to not allow to, you know, dictate my life or how I operate in the comedy space. And it's tough because it's a tricky balance. I want to be putting out content constantly for people, but I also want to put stuff out that speaks to what I truly enjoy or what I truly believe. And, it's also tough because the big thing in today's content landscape is trying to stick to a niche. You know, everybody's got their own niche. Like this guy only does
this is what has
this thing, type right, of yeah. This guy only does like, you know, straight to camera making fun of whatever. This guy only does like right wing or left wing or whatever it is. And I'm kind of all over the map. I got like a Jake Paul impression followed by a video about some bros that I grew up with followed by a Joe Rogan impression, and it's just all over. But for me, it's I try to not pay attention to the pressure because it would start to make fuzzy the creative that I want to put out.
And then on a kind of day-to-day basis, you know, because obviously it's a job that you do you have a kind of set format of like, I'm gonna tend to get into my material just after breakfast, or does it come to you when it comes to you, or like how do you make sense of when to do it?
A little of both. I definitely try to sit and write for at least an hour every day, even if it's just free writing, journaling, whatever it is. But I take a lot of notes in my phone, especially traveling. If I see something silly, I'll write down a note. And then when I get to my computer later, I'll try to flesh it out. And it's also different for stand-up versus video stuff. There's a lot of intersection. I'll take a lot of characters from my videos and integrate them into the live stand-up show. But I do a majority of my writing for stand-up, just live and in the moment, kind of improvising. So the rest of the writing is at the computer,
Nice. And who would be on your Mount Rushmore of stand-up comedians?
Oh, I mean, that's
you guys all sit around and...
Are you guys comedy fans, too?
Stand-up? I like stand-up. Now, how many people are on Mount Rushmore? Is it four?
I think it's four.
All right.
I think it's four.
I can do that.
Yeah.
I can think of four comedians. Four?
Oh, man. I'd say...
got three now.
Have you?
Well, I've got four. All right, I'm going to do four? My four.
Okay, do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, you go ahead.
So we don't throw you off.
Yeah.
Bill Hicks, right?
Nice.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay.
George Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Pryor.
Very good.
Nice.
Those are American. I've not included the Brits.
Well,
it's American structure.
Yep. Do you have a four?
Really? Four American.
Four American stand-up comedians.
I'm opening it up.
Oh, you're doing worldwide?
Yeah.
Okay.
Controversial. You think in the United States they would put anyone that isn't American on Mount Rushmore, but you do your thing, William.
All right.
We'll build a new mountain.
Yeah.
In international waters.
Yeah.
Billy Connolly.
Lovely.
Bill Hicks. Harry Hill.
Oh, you lost your mind watching Harry Hill one time.
Yeah, it was a stand-up in Britain.
Oh, yeah?
And I had to leave. I thought I was going to pee myself. I was laughing so hard. So he gets up there for that night.
Yeah.
Just for that one night, he gets up there.
Loved it.
Eddie Murphy.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go George Carlin.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie Murphy, even though he hasn't done stand-up in...
rumors that he is going to, right?
Yeah, there was
been around for a while.
A couple rumors over the past few years.
Yeah.
So Carlin, Eddie Murphy, Bill Burr.
Oh,
nice.
Is up there for me.
Very
for
funny.
Sure.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You've worked hard for what you have. Your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
I love Richard Pryor, but I haven't watched enough of him I think if I said Richard Pryor, I don't think I'd be being completely honest. Just right.
I like that you're always trying to be honest with yourself. Yeah. Yeah. I try. I think it's good.
Yeah.
One placeholder there.
Yeah, the fourth, if we're talking about greats, I guess Seinfeld, man, just because of the way he changed. Yeah. He changed stand-up, you know?
Pretty special.
He really did something new.
And I was watching some of your stand-up as well.
Oh, yeah?
Very funny.
Thanks, man.
And fast and energetic. It was really good. And honest, as you're saying.
Yeah.
You did a very funny bit about people shouting at each other, but then it became making love.
Oh, was that?
And it was, yeah, that was very funny.
Thank you, dude. Yeah.
You'd like it.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, I'll send you it.
We've been lucky enough to have a few stand-up comedians on the show, and I always like to ask him, how do they deal with a heckler? Because everyone's different.
Oh, dude. I have a couple of friends that get like really mad and angry, and they'll like put a heckler in their place. And I try not to do that because it causes this like weird tension. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to tell somebody to shut the... Can I curse here?
Sure.
I don't want to tell somebody to shut the up, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to like be mean to them right away. But also, you kind of got to shut the up, right? So I try to get through it by actually like telling them straight up as if we're talking one-on-one. If they keep shouting out, I'll be like, hey, man, you seem like a great dude. I would love to have a conversation with you later. I might even invite you on my podcast. But what you have to do right now is not make another sound for the next 37 minutes.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then everybody will kind of laugh a little bit.
Right.
And hopefully that's enough. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely gotten to the point before where I've had to kind of lay the hammer down and say something to poke fun at them or roast them in a way to...
A lot of times it's associated with someone maybe being a little drunk or
always
a little inebriated.
100% right? of the time, yeah.
Although with a bunch of friends and they try to be brave. And very often I've seen, when I've been at live comedy shows or if you've seen anything online, as soon as the spotlight goes on that person, they then get a little bit sheepish.
Yeah.
They're like, I didn't mean that the show to all be about me. And you're like, well, that's what's happening.
That's
right
what's happening. You did mean that.
Right.
Because that's what you did. I had a heckler a couple of weeks ago at a show. I did this joke about Trump and Biden. And I said something like, you know, it was like, America is changing presidents from an old white guy to an older, whiter guy. And I did a couple other things like that. And everybody was laughing, except this one woman in the front who was just looking at me with dead eyes. And I kept going with the bit. And she starts talking. She starts saying, like, you shouldn't be talking like that. You should. Why are you comparing them like that? That's so dumb. And she kept saying that.
Oh, wow.
So I eventually said, ma'am, fucking watch this. Hey, everybody, if you think this is funny, make some noise. Of course, everybody applauds immediately. And she's the only one that's silent.
Right.
And she got up and walked out of the room. And I could not have been more happy that she had left.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's just like, she was a fucking...
It's there weird, for the wrong reason.
Yeah,
it's weird that, isn't it? That what I mean, that's the Karen thing, isn't it? It's the classic Karen.
Crazy.
That they bring all of their thoughts and what they think should be life to every social occasion. Mm. It's so weird to walk into a comedy
and expect it's going to be tailored just for you.
It's going to be right for you.
Yeah.
I mean, fair. If you wake up and walk out, fair enough.
That's your
but why would anyone feel that this is okay for me to comment here?
Yeah.
The
entitlement is crazy.
Yeah.
The entitlement is crazy.
Yeah, and it's getting worse and worse. Yeah. Obviously, everyone feels like they have an opinion and that it's relevant. Like, obviously, everyone has an opinion, but social media has now created this illusion that if you have an opinion and you put it online, it's relevant and people need to listen to it. No, you might have a bad opinion or a poorly educated opinion, you know? It's fine to have opinions and we're all entitled to that, but sometimes your opinion is incorrect and people need to know that. People think that, like Stephen Fry does this great stuff about being offended. I'm sure you've seen that, where he'll mention something and someone will say, I'm offended by that. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
So what? Just because you're offended, it doesn't mean that I'm wrong.
Are you physically harmed?
Right.
Yeah. You know?
It's okay to be offended.
Yeah.
You know? It doesn't make my point not right. It just means that you don't agree with it somehow. I feel bad for, I mean, I don't think he cares, obviously, but I feel bad sometimes watching Bill Burr because he's such a great comedian, has such brilliant material, but very often throughout his shows, with people who have come specifically to see Burr, he has to kind of say, okay, I'm now going to say something really upsetting.
Right, right.
It's a joke.
Right.
You've come to a comedy show. Like, just keep in mind that everything that I'm saying here is trying to make you laugh. And then he'll say something and the audience will be like, oh, and he's like, yeah, like.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people think they, especially in the past couple of years, it feels like people are using their opinions as a way to elevate their status above other people, you know, and you see it in reactions online to things, in the whole like cancel culture movement, which it doesn't really seem like it's happening anymore.
Yeah.
But it is that same energy of, oh, I don't think that's right, so let me put you down so that I look like a better person.
Right.
Mm. Right. And that happens a lot in comedy too, like the people that hate Dave Chappelle right now.
Right.
You know, or like that woman who walked out of my show.
Right.
She probably looked around the whole room and thought, all these people are beneath me.
Right.
I am right here. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm going to go home and make some lavender tea and just think about how good I am. And maybe I'll tweet about it and get 3 likes and that'll be my day. You know?
Good times.
It's wild.
Billy and Dom eat the world.
Well, hey, William.
What?
Should we eat the world?
Oh. Have you brought us anything?
You brought us an idea, haven't you, Brent? And then our producer.
Because we always like to eat something. And if we have a guest, then we normally ask the guest to bring something, you know, from their history or from family or from the country they grew up in, just something sort of that means something to them.
Dude, I should have cooked for this.
It's okay. Because
we have one of the great cooks,
Johnny Clues.
Our producer, Johnny Clues, is one of the greatest cooks in all Christendom.
Yeah,
incredible.
He's cooked for us. But like Billy said, it's fantastic that you brought something that clearly means a lot to you.
Can you remember what you told them?
Yeah, dude. So I've also been cooking for a really long time.
Oh, nice.
Like I said, my family's Italian, so they kind of raised me in the kitchen. My mom taught me how to make handmade pasta when I was a kid. And a lot of people during COVID got into bread.
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot of bread.
There's a lot of bread making. A
lot of bread making. I got back into pasta. So I started making a lot of pasta, and then I made like a separate food page on Instagram. To take pictures of all my pasta dishes.
Wow. Nice.
So, and now whenever I go out to eat Italian, like me and my girlfriend are very picky now.
We're almost
like restaurant food critics.
We were in Boston a couple of weeks ago there, and I had one of the best Italian meals.
Yeah?
Just,
what'd you have?
You know, when it's legit.
Yeah.
And it was, the restaurant in Boston was called Limoncello.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one of those great where the
nice.
Waiter
you,
was like, he was telling you about where the dish came from, you know, whose mother used to make it. Thank you, John. And he's like, hey, the chef, he'd bring out a little plate, you know, half of this.
Yeah.
And say, the chef wanted you to taste this. And it was like a lasagna or something. It was just
that's
amazing,
so cool.
You know.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
And he's like, you need a glass of wine? Yeah. I've got the very, and you know, you didn't really order.
They're just leading the show. Isn't that awesome?
Oh,
you don't have to do anything.
It was just, and it just tasted like it was all made with love. And
yeah.
The place was great. I loved it. And it's a good Italian meal just can't be beat.
It's the best.
It's fantastic.
It's the best.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, so Brent, during COVID lockdown, what were your standout pasta things?
I was doing a lot of homemade tagliatelle, which is like fettuccine, and meat sauce, a lot of meat sauce, a lot of steaks with vegetables or a lot of like bolognese or like a ragu or something like that. And so I went to, it was my birthday, celebrating my birthday in 2021. Me and my girlfriend went to a restaurant in Santa Monica based on a recommendation from a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being awful. We walked in, it was a great recommendation, but we walked in and like the plates were like cold and the pasta, the sauce tasted like ketchup or like barbecue sauce and ketchup mixed together.
No.
We had caprese and the tomatoes were still kind of frozen and the cheese tasted like chalk. It was so bad.
A lot of mistakes there.
A lot of issues.
What's wrong with these guys?
We won't mention that restaurant.
We won't mention it.
Don't mention the name.
DM me if you want to know.
Yeah.
And so we left. We said, hey, we don't really want to pay for this. This is awful. This is just we're not having a good time at all. So we left and we went to a different restaurant that we had been to before. And we walked over and this place is called Via Veneto in Santa Monica. Mm. And I walked up to the guy and he said they were kind of full. And I begged him. I was like, dude, it's my birthday. We went to this other place. They were really bad. And he was like, oh, what's the place called? And I told him the name. And he's super Italian. And he goes, as soon as I said the name, he goes, ah, come on, you cannot go there. Why you go there? We all know you cannot go. They got no Italians in the kitchen. Why are you going to that place? That place is trash. You can't go there. What are you thinking? And he immediately sits us down. And I pull out my phone and I start showing him the photos on my food page to show him like what I've been making. Cooking, just as like, you know, to be friends and let him know I'm here to eat. And he calls over his manager to look at the photos. And they start talking like super fast in Italian, like whispering to each other, scrolling through my Instagram page. And then the manager says, he goes, hey, what? So, you know, I don't know what you do on the side, but if you're ever looking for a job, you could come cook with us. Maybe, you know, you spend a week in the kitchen. We see how you do. And I was like, I don't know if I could change careers, but I really appreciate it. So, I got offered a job.
Is that because you live in Santa Monica, William. Has that ended up becoming your favorite Italian in LA? What's the name of it again? Because I'm going to go.
Yeah, Via Veneto. V-I-A.
Veneto.
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 And what you suggested today is a classic American,
an Italian dish,
the Bolognese.
Here it goes.
Now, Bolognese is from a region in Italy called Bolognese. Is that where the name comes
Bologna.
From? Bologna.
Bologna, Italy. Yeah, I think it's kind of central.
This is my wife's go-to in an Italian meal.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me.
Go on, Bill.
You said that you did a lot of sport growing up. Mm-hmm. What sports?
Played basketball mostly. That was my main sport.
Sizest.
Yep. I don't know. Billy. Point guard.
Gooder?
Yeah.
Really?
Tell him your issue Muggsy with Bogues. Basketball, really.
The tallest guy wins.
Yeah.
Generally.
I mean? You'll be quick and sneaky.
Here's my thing.
I said to Billy, what about that guy Boykins? He was, 5'5" or something?
Yeah, Earl Boykins. Muggsy Bogues was 5'3".
Mm-hmm. They should have a whole other league. Drop it a foot. Mm-hmm. No one's allowed in over 6 foot.
Yeah.
It's a faster league. It's a better game.
Yeah, we'll call it, instead of the NBA, it's the SBA.
What's that for?
Shire Basketball Association.
Right?
I'm loving it.
You know?
I'm loving it so far.
Let's start it. You seem like a go-getter.
I'm in.
You make wine, you do food.
Yeah.
What's the name of your Instagram where we can look at your food?
Oh, the food stuff is Brent's Food.
Brent's.
All one word.
What a lovely imaginative name for it.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to read you a little blurb here about Bolognese as you guys chat.
And I'm just going to take a tiny bit more wine.
Oh, yeah, William, would you mind just giving me a snifter?
Yeah.
Because it's got a little topper in there.
Well, listen, wine and pasta, is there anything more incredible?
Beat it. Mm-hmm.
Vibe, Rosie. Yeah,
William, don't get me drunk and make a pass at me.
No, absolutely. Never do that again.
Yep, just a snifter.
Nice.
Lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That will suffice.
I'll take a
tiny.
A little kiss, thank you.
So how did, before you read that out,
please,
Dom,
William,
just on the sport, how did pasta, Italian and pasta every night, does that work with them?
You know what's funny is,
right,
when I was growing up, we were not as like health conscious as we are today.
Right.
You know, like we're talking about Paul Stamets and Zach Bush and holistic wellness, which, you know, we love, obviously you love that because you're wearing beaded bracelets like
yes,
me.
Yes, I do.
But when I was growing up, we didn't know any of that.
No.
We didn't know it at all. We had pasta dinner, like team pasta dinners the night before a game.
Mm-hmm.
We would all go to a kid's house, order a mad amount of spaghetti, garlic bread, garlic knots, pasta sauce.
Garlic nuts?
Yeah, like a knot of dough.
Oh, a knot?
Fried.
I thought you said N-U-T-S. I was like, garlic nuts? Well.
And we would eat like this crazy amount of carbs and like processed food the night before a high school basketball game. I can't imagine doing that.
Crazy.
Now, you know?
There's professional, retired now, but retired professional football or soccer players who used to talk about an hour and a half before the game, the team would ask them to sit down and eat pasta and tuna or pasta and chicken.
Wow.
Which obviously I understand the protein element of it to a certain degree, but the pasta after half an hour or so, you're going to be...
Oh, you're going to crash. Out. Yeah.
Guys, I'm going to read a little introductionary blurb to the bolognese sauce.
Ladies and gentlemen, a blurb on the bolognese sauce, read by my friend, Mr. Dominic Monaghan.
Thank you, William. Hi. While the quest for the most traditional recipe leads to a much heated debate in the motherland, Italy, it is established that the history of the bolognese sauce started in the 18th century. The first mention of the term alla bolognese appeared in Pellegrino Artusi's cookbook, La scienza in cucina e l'arte di mangiare bene.
Perfect job.
Thank you. Ryan.
That was phenomenal.
Very good. Science in the kitchen and the art of eating well. Published in 1891. That is impressive. It is recognized as the most famous Italian cookbook of modern times and features nearly 800 recipes. Let me tell you, tonight, after this, I'm going to go on Amazon and I'm going to see if you can buy that book, La scienza in cucina dell'arte di mangiare bene.
You as well, dude, Tom. I'll buy you. I've never
you
bought
won't
you.
Buy me
I'll
anything.
I have never bought him a book.
Never.
He buys me a book sort of every week.
I saw a book for him today and I was like, I'm not going to buy him 7 books in a row and have nothing to show for it. Well, get William, that would be a treat.
I'll buy you. How expensive is it? Is it an expensive book?
Do you know that book?
I don't know that book particularly, but
I'll get you out of it.
I would love that book.
Yeah. How about notorious or famous celebrity chefs? Is there anyone in your particular?
Are you finished with that? Is that was that the?
No, that was just the introduction. That was merely an hors d'oeuvre.
Because I felt as if I needed to know more.
I'll tell you more in a second, but I want to ask Brent, is there anyone on TV where you think, you know what, actually that person is pretty good and they know what they're doing?
Oh, yeah, Massimo Bottura.
Oh, right.
Do you know who that is?
I don't, actually.
He's got restaurants in Italy. He's one of the biggest chefs out there. He's this kooky, wacky dude, high-energy Italian guy. Another thing I did during 2020 was watch a bunch of masterclass lessons. Mm. He's got a great masterclass lesson.
Oh, great. Because I subscribed to masterclass as well.
I learned, what did I learn? Isn't it funny you watch a whole lesson and
then you have no idea what you did. Who else did you do? You did him.
Did you do Gordon Ramsay?
Gordon Ramsay.
Did you do Gordon Ramsay? Yeah, sure.
Do Gordon Ramsay's. It's incredible.
I did this other woman who's like a home chef. So she does a lot of like home, like kind of almost easy
did
southern recipes. I did.
Songwriting.
I did a film production one.
Nice.
Which was good, just to touch up.
I like the Scorsese one.
Yeah, that's the one I did.
Scorsese was great. There's a great Dustin Hoffman one about acting. He's a bit wacky, but it's pretty crazy.
Oh, and then I did the astronaut one, dude.
To learn how to go to space?
Yeah.
I want to do that.
Well, don't you want to do that?
That's my number one thing
to
do.
Let me ask you a question. If they end up making the trip from Earth to the moon into a vacation, like a possible vacation, would you do that?
Absolutely.
Without hesitation.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah.
At this point in my life, I'm getting older.
Sure.
No.
If they said, look, we need somebody to go to Saturn, but it's a one-way trip, I would go.
You say yeah?
I'd take my dog, Bobby, and me and Bobby would go off and... Because normally they send dogs up and they don't bring them back.
Right.
No, that's very sad.
They might start doing that with humans if they do.
I would like that too. There's also an Aaron Sorkin masterclass. And I think your favorite TV show of all time is The West Wing, right?
Yeah, I would say.
He talks about screenwriting. Very, a very deep dive into screenwriting.
Sure.
But it's fantastic. Yeah, I was going to ask you something then. Oh, gosh, I can't remember. It was something about cooking. Oh, I know.
Oh.
I'm going to go around the room.
Oh.
That's Brent.
Right.
William over there, right. And myself. I'll begin just to give you guys a little hint as to what I'm looking for here. Your number one top tip in cooking. I'll give you mine, right?
Yeah.
This is basically a phrase, but it absolutely works. If you boil a soup, you spoil a soup.
Nice.
Never boil a soup. A simmer at best. Just going to leave that with you.
Great. Phenomenal.
Yeah,
tip.
Yeah.
Phenomenal tip.
Thank you, Brent. William.
Oh, Brent.
If you don't wash your hands, you'll probably kill your grands.
Brilliant. That's a good one, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Brent?
Yeah, I'd say always taste it, never waste it.
Oh,
lovely.
Yeah.
How's that? I just thought of that right now.
No, but that's great. Good. Do you mean like taste as you go?
Taste as you go. Mm-hmm. Always taste as you go. Mm-hmm. And then I really try not to waste food. So that's like lovely. Even scraps I'll try to put into a bone broth or something like that. Yeah.
I'm going to put you guys in a nightmare scenario that I was in this morning.
It's not like 15 cats and there's an oven getting turned hotter and hotter. And
no.
Okay, just checking. Go on.
I'd already cracked the eggs.
Yeah.
Into the bowl to make some scrambled eggs this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've told you, I'm bulking up just now.
Oh, yeah. So I was going to ask.
Yeah, I'm getting, you know.
Sure.
So a lot of eggs and
I'm listening.
I put the eggs into the bowl. I'm just about to make them. No salt.
Ooh.
I'll tell you what I did have. I had cayenne pepper. I had pepper. I had garlic salt.
Oh, yeah, that might do it.
Yeah.
It's extreme. It's strong flavor. Yeah.
And I had some cream.
Oh, and some cream. Did you have any butter?
Probably, I did have butter. Didn't use it. That's okay. Did you have celery salt? No. I like a celery salt.
I only had garlic salt.
The garlic salt is great.
Can you use that like salt?
I'm going to say, were you going to say the same thing? A little less than normal salt.
Yeah.
Sparingly, Bills.
That's what I did.
Don't make a habit out of it.
But does it give the, you know that effect that salt has where it brings out all the other flavors? Or does the garlic overpower?
The garlic is like a knife.
The garlic's overwhelming. But I would say,
but
use
sometimes
a quarter of what you would normally use for salt if in a bind.
That's kind of what I did. And I didn't really taste the garlic too much, but I definitely missed the salt.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it too often.
Now, William, let me ask you a slightly leading question here. You made scrambled eggs this morning. You mentioned just then that you put the scrambled eggs in a bowl to mix it all together and then put it in a pan. Seems like you're absolutely forgetting the
way you
Ramsay
made it.
Method that I taught you, which, William, you said was the greatest scrambled eggs you've ever had in your life. Are you lying? Are you lying to me?
If you ask me, am I lying, I would have to say yes.
It's not the greatest scrambled eggs. Well, my crest has fallen.
It takes a long time, your method.
It does.
He does it very slowly.
Do you do the actual Gordon method with the cold butter?
Yeah, it is, like Billy said, it's 20 minutes or so. But his thing is, crack your eggs directly into the pan and you have it on a low heat. As soon as it starts to grab onto the bottom of the pan, take it off, stir it, cool it down. What he's wanting is heat, cool, heat, cool, heat, cool. You do that like four or five times, adding butter and cream cheese or creme fraiche or something. It's incredible. But you've been lying to me for months now.
No, it was very good eggs. It was very good.
But not your favorite.
No, it might have been my favorite, but the pan was already on. I was running late, as you know.
Well, he's got excuses now.
And there was no salt. I mentioned that before. And I just made it very fast.
All right. Hey, can I make a recommendation for you when you are now buying salt, possibly on the way home?
Yeah.
Will you invest in a lovely box of Maldon salt? Right?
I normally do.
Maldon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
As soon as you have Maldon salt, it's hard to go back. That's beautiful, that salt.
Do you like Himalayan salt?
I love it.
Do you like sea salt?
I like sea salt, but I prefer anything volcanic, Celtic salt.
Yeah. Celtic. Mm. Yeah.
Spring water, Celtic salt. Mm-hmm. That's how I remember it.
Yeah.
Never get them confused. Never get Celtic water and spring salt.
Oh, never.
No. You can't do that.
Tell us something else about bolognese pasta.
I'll tell you something. Mm-hmm. Now, continuing on with...
This wine's delicious.
It's fantastic.
Cheers, pal.
William, continuing on from Mr... What is his name? It doesn't say the first message. Pellegrini Artusi. So in his book, he says, in his bolognese, he added veal and pancetta.
Ooh.
No mention of beef, as well as onion, carrots, celery, flour, broth, salt, pepper, nutmeg, and parmigiano cheese. Small amount of cream added at the end of the preparation is optional, but recommended. Dried mushrooms. You love a mushroom, Billy.
I do. But I was just thinking they're optional and optimal. You get those confused. You can really change things.
You
can
really be in trouble.
Yeah, you
can
mess
around. Carry on.
A few slices, if you're feeling decadent, of truffle mushroom.
Ooh.
Fantastic. Or chicken liver can also be included for added flavor. From this recipe, the bolognese sauce evolved over the years with every cook putting their own spin on it, but basically staying the same. So much of that recipe doesn't have much in common with the original nowadays. But there's a few things that you kind of don't change. Your whole onion, carrot, celery, flour, salt, pepper, nutmeg. It's a very Moorish kind of comforting food, spaghetti bolognese. Do you think that's why your wife likes it so much?
I don't know. I think she just likes it. And you know, when you've had a good one, you're like, oh, I'd like that again.
Yeah. Look,
could you grill her tonight? Could you sit her down?
Yeah.
Face to face, maybe a couple of
people.
Do you like?
Get the
bolognese?
Answer out of
talk us through yours, Brent.
It's funny, you know, in Italy, everybody thinks they have the best recipe, and even on one street, two ends of the street can make it completely different than each other.
Of course,
it's crazy. So mine, I actually use bison a lot.
Wow, yeah. You are Joe Rogan.
You have Joe Rogan. I know. Maybe you could do this bit and as Joe
I'm
Rogan,
becoming
could
the
you?
Bit, you know what I mean?
Could you tell us how you make your
sure,
bonus
sure.
as Joe Rogan?
Yes, yes, man. So usually I get out of a 4-hour sauna just after I've finished doing 3 hours of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And I'll go home and I'll start with a sofrito, which is celery, onion, and carrots. Oh.
Now that's a little reduction in the pan, is that?
That's just the veg.
Okay.
You wanna cook down the veg, get it caramelized and evaporate the water. And then what I'll do is I'll add the bison, the fresh ground bison to the pan, man. And we'll brown the meat, right?
Yeah.
Salt, a little bit of pepper, a little bit of garlic in there too, man. Mm-hmm. And then what we'll do is we'll add tomato paste, highly concentrated. Jamie, can you pull up that link to tomato paste? Yeah, there it is right there. Have you guys ever seen a giraffe eat a bucket of tomato paste while it's being tackled by a wolf? It's wild, man. So I'll cook down the tomato paste in that mixture. Then I'll add red wine. About a half a bottle.
Lovely.
Ooh, big nice. Fan of the red wine. Mm. Let that cook down. Let the water evaporate. Let the alcohol evaporate. Turns into a syrup, man. And then we'll bring in the beef stock, bone broth. We'll mix that all together. We'll add the fresh herbs, typically sage, thyme, rosemary, some combination of those.
Lovely.
And then what we'll do is we'll cook that whole thing down until it's reduced to the point where if an alien came from outer space, they would see it and be like, Joe, I want to have sex with your sauce, man. And then we reduce it all the way down. And just before we bond it with the pasta, we add a touch of cream.
Lovely.
Mm. What pasta?
That sounds tasty. Yeah, what's
your favorite?
I love that. That made me hungry. And it was funny as well.
Oh,
I liked
great.
It all round.
It made me think about that now. Hi, Bills, from behind the TV. Mm-hmm. It made me think about that now. Iconic little scene in the first Godfather film where the guy's teaching Michael how to make a
spaghetti with the
sauce.
Razor?
That's great.
No, that's Goodfellas.
Oh, that's Goodfellas,
but remember in Godfather, Michael comes in and all the big boys are talking at the table and the guy's like, hey, Michael, come over here. Let me show you something. You take your sauces, you take your meatballs, your red wine. And Sonny comes over, he's like, hey, leave him alone. He's not a cook.
Uh-huh.
He's one of us. But it's brilliant because if you follow that recipe, you're going to have a good pasta sauce.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
Hey. Should we give it some scores?
Yeah, we always score it. And I think John did a really good job because it's not easy.
John, we've all finished our, we've completely finished our plates.
Making something ahead of time and it's, you know, you want that fresh, don't you? You want it fresh.
Oh, yeah. But this was great.
It's fantastic.
Can I give you a little spoiler that it was made with Beyond Meat?
Wow, no real meat in there. Lovely, very healthy. Interesting. As well.
Was it also made with love? Could you tell us, John?
Was it made with beyond love?
Or just like?
Beyond love, exactly.
A certain
beyond
amount of love. Like in there.
Yeah.
That's
cute. Okay, now are we scoring this bolognese or bolognese in general?
I think it has to be this.
This one.
Don't you think?
Okay.
Sure.
Taste.
Yeah,
or
we do. We use three
flavor.
Categories.
Okay.
First one.
This is
taste.
Out of 10,
taste.
Brent. You can use decimal points if you
great.
Like.
I'll show you how I would do it. I'm going to give that. John, it was delicious, but
there's
as far
coming
as
in
a
here,
bolognese
John.
Goes, I like a bit more sauce. Pasta was slightly too al dente for me.
Well, you're quite
but it was,
full
it was,
of criticism today. For
and John. It was a paper plate. A paper plate.
Mm.
That's a disgrace.
Mm.
I mean, you left the restaurant because the plate wasn't warm enough.
Mm, that's true.
You're
and
for China.
John decides to serve it on, you know, a dead tree. Dom.
Oh, you're not happy.
No, I'm happy because I liked it, but I'd liked it fresh from his cooker. 7.5.
That's quite critical.
Was it?
Well, you're known as the charitable scorer out of the two of us, and that was quite critical.
Mm. Well, pasta can be difficult.
I'm going to say, given the limitations of what John had to deal with today, cooking and then bringing it in.
I didn't know we were taking that into account.
I always do.
Carry on.
I'm going to give it a solid 8.
Well, that's quite good. Tonight.
That's good.
Brent?
That's good. Yeah, I when I had my first bite, I was going to ask if it was chicken.
Mm.
It didn't taste like beef.
Mm-hmm.
But now he said it's beyond. That makes so much sense.
Beyond meat.
I typically would do kind of a looser sauce so that it's a little more liquidy.
But take notes, John.
You're a podcast producer
that
was forced to make a dish of pasta. So I got to be a little critical, but also give you the benefit of the doubt.
Lovely.
And I do like the noodles, actually. I prefer mine al dente like this.
Well, there you go.
It's got a nice bite to the noodles.
The springiness.
I like the size of the carrots. Mm-hmm. Sometimes carrots can be overwhelming.
They can be, yeah.
And then your whole dish tastes like carrot.
Yeah.
John, I'm gonna give this a 7.3.
Lovely.
Well, I think that's all right, John.
Coming from an Italian.
I'm from a legit Italian.
Yeah.
That does mean a lot.
One that doesn't take any shit.
Yeah. I always enjoy a little bit of fresh grated cheese on top of my bolognese, which we didn't have today, and that's okay.
I can't believe they left that out.
That's okay. Yeah. Now, the second category, William.
Is aesthetics. How does it look?
Or how did it look?
How did it look when you got it? When you looked at it, did you say, that is pleasing to the eye? Or did you just ignore it? Dom, give us a score.
Well, this is where I'm going to slightly demote John, although I enjoy him as a human. I agree with you guys. I'd like a little bit more of a tomatoey, saucy thing, almost as if it's drowning a little bit. A shallow drown
in the sauce.
So I'll give him a 6.
6 for aesthetics there. Now, as I say, Dom, paper plate straight away.
No, because you're quite highfalutin.
I mean, we're not in a picnic, are we? We're not in a park.
No, we're not Philistines.
Uh-huh. And then the amount of pasta I got was good, but I'd like it to be exactly in the center of the plate.
Oh, God, John, are you taking notes?
And piled up slightly. Like a shallow volcano.
Right. And the lava sauce, coming out the top is maybe the cheese.
No, like the sauce would be the lava.
Sure.
And then a mere sprinkling, almost like after a volcano has went off, the dust that settles.
Yeah, the volcanic dust. Nice. What about a fresh sprig of basil? Or as you might say, basil.
Basil. But it felt as if John had no... He aesthetically didn't care what it looked like.
You're angry with John today. Is there something else going on? Have you guys had a fight?
He threw it in my plate. Like it was a dirty protest.
Oh, score it then. Give him a critique.
I really can only give it a 6.2.
Oh, it's damning.
What did you think?
See, I'm picky when it comes to presentation, John. So don't take this personal, you know.
But I felt like when
I was handed this plate of pasta, I felt like I was being handed a plate of pasta at a family reunion by an aunt who never really liked me.
Yeah. It was almost like he was slightly angry.
Yeah, it was like, oh, I got caught sneaking out to light off fireworks with my friend last night, and my mom told my aunt, and my aunt doesn't like me for it because I'm getting my cousin involved in my shenanigans. Yeah.
But she still has to feed me
at the family reunion.
Yeah.
So as she feeds me, she hands me the plate, and when she takes away her hand, she forms a middle finger. Yeah. But it's very subtle so that she can kind of play it off as if she didn't do that. Mm-hmm. That's what this plate of food felt like to
John. I can understand that.
That's what it felt like to me, John. I got to be honest.
He's offended.
I was appalled at the presentation. I was going to, but then I thought, you know, maybe we can make up for it at some point.
He was appalled.
I'd say presentation-wise, I'd it was on the plate. I'll give you that.
It was.
There you go.
It was on the plate.
Although it was a paper plate, as I have mentioned.
You just mentioned that. Yeah, it's become a bit of an albatross, that.
I'd give it, you know, a 4.5.
Oh, gosh, John.
Oh, John.
Plating.
You went sub-5, John. You went sub-5.
I didn't know, John. I had to worry about presentation. You really set the bar here.
I didn't either.
Sorry about that.
I don't know if you saw John's face. How long have you been the producer of the Friendship Onion? That's over a year, I would think, isn't it?
At least.
And you didn't think presentation was, you had to worry about it, whereas it's always scored. Every week we score presentation, John.
Well, I didn't think the plate was part of that. That was just the pasta alone. Just one single noodle you would hold up and say, that was pure.
I thought your choice of noodle was good, though.
I thought the
choice
of
noodle was great.
Is that like a thick penne of sort
what
of
would
a
you
rigatoni?
Call that, John?
Rigatoni, right?
Rigatoni.
That was rigatoni.
I don't know if you guys saw, but when Brent gave that score, I was looking directly into John's eyes, and he smarted as if someone had stood on his toe. He went,
John, I love you, bud.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though, John made a hot sauce once.
Oh yeah?
Majestic.
With, like from scratch, from Chili's. Mm. And I tell you, Brent.
Yeah.
It would change your life.
Really?
It was wonderful.
And a couple of weeks ago there, we had the hottest pepper in the world. We had that on.
Carolina Reaper.
We ate it.
And you ate it?
Yeah.
Did you eat it raw?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was painful and I got stomach cramp. I thought I was going to shit myself if I'm honest, Brent, mm-hmm. but I didn't. Mm-hmm. But John now has those and he's going to make a sauce from it. I mean, a
hot sauce?
A hot sauce.
Oh my
God. So we'll let you try that because he's amazing. You're amazing at doing that, John.
Yeah.
Do you follow that up with milk?
No, we didn't follow it up with anything, did we? We just raw dogged it.
Yeah. You raw dogged
Wait, did
the
you
pepper?
Have milk?
I had milk, yeah.
Billy's a little bit more sensitive than me, so yeah, he had some milk and a lie down.
That's fair. So here's the last thing that we score.
Mm-hmm. Which is Billy's category that he made up himself.
Uh-huh. It's usefulness. How useful is this food?
Mm-hmm. I know, Brent, you're thinking the same thing as most guests, which is, what the f***?
Yeah, that was the expression.
Well, say for instance, we take John's hot sauce.
Yeah.
That is useful.
Oh, yeah.
You've got that in the cupboard. Doesn't matter. Like this morning when I had eggs with no salt.
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter. Because I put some of that hot sauce on, it'd be some of the best eggs you've ever tasted.
But you didn't follow the Gordon Ramsay method, did you?
So, no, I didn't. No, it's so too slow.
Yeah, it's good.
It's not really worth it.
It's definitely worth it, but come on.
But, you know, or say for instance, we had, have you ever heard of jardinera?
No, what is that?
Oh, Brent.
Oh, what is that?
It's a Chicagoan. I would say a Chicagoan condiment, John. Would that
really?
Be correct?
Is it like
Italian
a relish?
Italian families. It's like a relish and it's got...
I don't know if chilies. Relish would be correct.
It's there, not a relish honest. In any way.
It's a selection of chopped up vegetables.
Made uh-huh. into a relish.
Not a relish.
Not a relish.
It's not a relish.
In oil
and
hot chilies, so everything becomes hot.
Oh my God.
And
see if you put that on a pizza.
Oh.
That sounds incredible.
Oh, you put it with eggs?
Yeah.
That
scrambled
is a
eggs,
useful
Gordon
thing.
Ramsay method.
Marmite. Have you ever had Marmite?
I've had Marmite.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah,
stuff.
I visited New Zealand. I had
10
Marmite.
10 for usefulness.
10. Although the New Zealand Marmite is like horse's piss. But that's fine. It's the English one you want.
How useful is it?
A bolognese?
Bolognese.
See, I think a bolognese is incredibly useful in some instances, but it's not very productive to start incorporating into your daily life.
Yeah, it's not very
versatile,
is it?
Yeah. Because you need a minimum of 2 hours if you really want to make it right. Mm. You got to let it sit. You got to let it reduce.
Nice glass of wine.
It's an
lovely glass
absolute go-to if you're going to have a party.
Oh, yeah,
People
for dinner. A bottle of Vibe.
Bottle of Vibe on the side.
While you're making it.
Absolutely. You kill a bottle of Vibe. You think about all the things in your life that are going well. You're having a great time.
But once it's made and it's there, it's in the fridge, right? And you've ate it.
I see what you're saying. Is
it useful? Can I
throw something out there as a kid?
Can I put an egg on it?
Right. I'm going to throw something out there as a kid. A different way of enjoying bolognese, which when I was younger was incredible.
Where do you hear this?
Mm-hmm. Bolognese pizza.
What do you think of that?
So you use the bolognese sauce as the tomato sauce base, little cheese on top.
Oh my
God. It's incredible.
And then the cheese on the sauce?
It's a really fantastic pizza.
And absolutely. Could you buy that from stores in Manchester?
No. I lived in Germany as a kid, and they had it quite often in German Italian restaurants.
Mm-hmm. That's as good.
That's as good.
Fun discussion.
Yeah, so how you... It's not the most versatile.
It's not the most versatile. I eat it just straight up, even without pasta sometimes, because it's so good. I'll just eat it like chili.
Mm.
I'll heat it up in a pan the day after, and I'll eat it like chili.
Well, there you go.
I think we have to give it some points for, like you said, a house party.
House party,
wedding,
10 out of
10. Event, gala.
10 out of 10. If you're having people over, 10 out of 10.
People are normally going to like it, right?
Yeah. Daily usefulness... six.
Is yours a really good bolognese? Is yours like a top bolognese?
It's incredible. Yeah, mine's pretty good. Yeah.
I'm gonna do the same. I think. Yeah. I'm giving it a six.
As far as versatility goes, because there's really only a couple places you could use it, but in those places, it's a 10.
Yeah,
for sure.
And you can't put it in your pocket.
Not really.
You could. Depends on what you're wearing, where you're going, who you're with.
I like to think about, you know, can you tour it around and take it halftime at a football game and hand it out to the team? Right. I don't think bolognese is great for that.
No, like you don't want to bring it to a party in a little baggie instead of drugs and then offer somebody a little piece of your bolognese on the tongue.
What it is, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So
it's a 5.2.
Yeah.
Is it a 6 for you, Brent?
Yeah, it's about a 6.
Well, that was bolognese, guys. I think we've done it. Brent, it's been fantastic having you on. How do people
appreciate you guys?
See what you guys what you are up to online. How do people do
that? Man. It's Brent Pella, P-E-L-L-A. You could type that into YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, find all the videos, watch all the things.
Funny stuff. Very funny.
Live shows are brentpella.com/shows. I'm on tour all the time.
Check it out. Very funny stuff. It's been lovely having you on. Thanks for the bolognese suggestion.
Absolutely. Thanks for enjoying the vibe, dude. I appreciate you.
Yeah, that the wine is fantastic. Goes well. It's really good.
Well, I'm glad, man. Thank you so much.
Really, I look forward to you sending me a very steamy photo later on of you in the bath having finished off that glass of that bottle
I'm
of
going
wine.
To chill it right down when I go home while I draw a bath.
Draw a bath.
Yeah. I love that. You draw a bath.
Draw a bath.
It's good, doesn't it?
Draw it out.
Draw it out.
I love a bath, don't
you? Yeah.
Lovely.
Love it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on.
Hell yeah.
Guys, we'll see you next week on The Friendship Onion.
Don't forget to send emails at speakpipe.com/The Friendship Onion.
Yeah, and anything else that you need to know, you can find out in the show notes below. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Toodles.
Bye.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright, I'm your oyster, baby, you're my pearl.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.